So, Amanda started out the service talking about standing or living in the promises of God, which ironically is pretty much our title of the message this morning. It is still Exodus. The title of the message is Taking Hold of the Promises of God and His Destiny. And this may be our last message in this series. I'm not sure, but I'm feeling like it's going to be, but we'll see what the Lord says this week. Anyway, this whole idea of living in the promises or taking hold of the promises of God, I think that Scripture is full of promises, and we are going to be in Exodus 23, and we're going to find that Exodus 23 is full of His promises. In the past, God has provided for the Israelites. All along the way, He parted the Red Sea. He drew out water from a rock. He provided manna in the morning and quail in the evening. He did all these things, and He provided for the people. And we can relate to many of those things. I mean, God has certainly provided in our lives. He's provided in the life of the church. And now we come to chapter 23, where not only has He provided all these things, now He is promising a whole bunch more. And God gives us promises for a reason, and I think the reason He gives us promises is for us to kind of build our faith. Because our faith oftentimes is built around fulfilled promises, right? Somebody makes a promise to you, and they fulfill that promise, your faith in them, what? It increases. Your trust in them increases. When, you know, Dad says, I'm going to be at your T-ball game, and he shows up at T-ball game, the faith, the child's faith in their dad increases when you make promises. And that's basically what's happening here. God is making promises, and when those promises are fulfilled, our faith in Him increases. So I think that's part of the reason why He provides promises, is so that our faith will be increased. I'm going to be reading specifically Exodus 23, specifically verses 20 through 30 this morning. And this 10 verses are chucked full of promises. And this is what it starts up by saying, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to prepare the place, to bring you to the place I have prepared." I mean, he starts out with an amazing promise right off the get-go. I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way to the place that I have prepared for you. And then in verse 21, pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. Verse 23, my angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and on your water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full span of life. And then in verse 27, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation that you encounter. I will make your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. Verse 29, but I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Whew. Wow. pretty evident that God is not afraid to use force to prepare the destiny that he has planned for us. In those 10 verses, in verse 20 specifically, we see the promise of protection. In verse 23, we see the promise of his presence. In verse 25, the promise of his provision. And in verse 30, the promise of possession. This really is a picture of the New Testament. He has promised us each of these things as well. These promises that we read were for the nation of Israel, but these promises are for us as well, and we must not forget that. But here is what we must remember is how he ended verse 30. His timing is crucial. He basically says, I'm going to do it step by step. I'm not going to do it in a single year. I'm not going to do it all tomorrow. I'm going to do it methodically because I want to make sure that you are prepared to receive what I have to give to you. And if I just wipe them out, if I just clear the path immediately and take you into that place, you aren't ready for it. And see, I think that's the thing with us that we have a hard time for. We want it now. We live in a now society. We pay for overnight shipping. We want everything now. We can Google search anything. We can find how to do anything on YouTube. We want everything now. And God says, that's not how I'm operating. That's not how you have to be willing to do it on my terms and under, according to my plan. That's the first difficult part that we must understand, is that it's on God's time. Here is the second part. Here is the second part that is a little bit troubling for us. Anytime you embrace his promises, anytime you embrace his promise, the Spirit of God begins to do a work in your life. That is great news. You embrace his promises, he begins to do a work in your life, but it's not all good news. It's not all good news, because when you embrace his promises and when he begins to do a work in your life, your faith will be tested. Period. And here's why. Your faith will be tested because hell rarely sits by and watches you grow in your faith. It doesn't work that way. I can tell you right now, when you embrace his promises and he begins to do a work in your life, there will be a battle. Count on it. Count on it. And that's where the building of our faith because of the fulfillment of promises comes into play. There's three principles that I really want to look at this morning regarding this text. And the first one is his boundaries. God has promised each one of us possession. Possession of a destiny, possession of land, possession of circumstances. He has promised us a destiny, a place that he has already gone to prepare for us. And he has set his boundaries in place in your life and in mine. This is what the psalmist writes in 16:6. He says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Verse 30 and 31, I didn't read 31, but this is what it says. But any possessing we do is done by driving out evil with good. Any possession that we do is by driving out evil with good. See, we would rather say, God, take me away from this evil place. When we see things like the state of New York are doing and with their new laws regarding abortion and some of the other states that are following suit, and we see this evil, we say sometimes, Lord, just take me away from this evil. Take me out of this place. Take me away from here. And the Lord says, no, that's not how my destiny works. Instead, I'm going to keep you in that place, but what we're going to do is drive out evil. Instead of removing you from that place, we're going to keep you in that place. But my promise to you is that we will drive out evil. That is why serving others is such a crucial part in the expansion of the kingdom of God. Because when we love people, we drive out evil and we drive out darkness. That's why it's so important that we serve others. We need to operate in the opposite spirit. Matthew 5:39, Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Verses 22 and 24, Israel was called to drive out people who were destroying people. Evil always does that. That's what evil does. And Israel was called to drive out the people who were destroying people. See, there was a long history here of people who had stood against God. Israel was chosen and called to drive those people out. God looked out over the nation and he said, "These people have stood against me long enough. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you everything that you need. My spirit is going to be in you, and we will drive these people out," because people and nations can only stand against God long enough. And at some point, God will have had enough. And at this point, God has had enough, and he said, "They have stood against me long enough. Israel, I'm empowering you to be the nation to drive these people out." And God says to each one of us, "I am giving you my spirit. I am empowering you to drive out the evil in your life so that you can claim the destiny that I have set before you." See, they were worshiping hundreds of gods. We have seen this perversion of their religion, worshiping sex, killing the babies it brought forth to the god of Moloch. Unfortunately, we still see those things today. It seems like in many ways, things are no different than they were in this time. Those things that they were worshiping, those things that they were idolizing, we are still doing the same thing. In fact, I'd say in some ways it's even gotten worse. It just looks a little bit differently. We are idolizing so many things. We're idolizing cell phones and iPads, and the list goes on and on. And we are still idolizing some of these very things. We reached a sad day just recently in our country again. The owner of the New England Patriots, such a powerful and prominent man. Think about the example. Think about the power of example he could set, and this is the example that he chose: to engage in prostitution. This is a man who had a platform, who could have used it in such a powerful way, and this is how he decides to use his platform, although he says he didn't do it. Sad, sad day that we reached. The second principle that I want to talk about this morning is his protection and his presence. In verse 20, he started out by saying, "Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." I absolutely love that verse. He's basically saying, look, and Amanda read it this morning, from before, while you were still in your womb, I had a destiny for you. While you were still in the womb, I had a plan for you. I have a place for you while you are still in the womb. And he says, I am going along your path ahead of you and preparing your journey so that you will get there. And again, it doesn't happen overnight. And bring you into the place which I have prepared. Isn't that amazing? God has already prepared a place for us. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about a place on earth, this path on earth, this destiny on earth that he has planned for us. And he goes before us and prepares it for us. And then in verse 23, "For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, and I will completely destroy them. Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I am going to send my messenger. Messenger in this is the same word as angel here. The angel is the messenger, Jesus. His name is his character. And Jesus says, go in my name. Go in my authority. Go in my power. God can and will protect you from the perversion if you ask him to. Look, it's hard. This world is hard. Life is hard. There is temptation around every single corner. And it seems like some days it is so hard to stay on track. It is so hard to live the Christian life when there's temptation around every corner. When the enemy is seeking to destroy our lives, when the enemy is seeking to destroy our relationship with Jesus, when the enemy is seeking to destroy our relationship in our families, it is hard. It is hard. But God can and will protect you from the perversion if you ask him to. And this is how it's going to happen. This is how it has to happen. It will come through two ways: his presence in your life and your obedience to his word. It's the only way it's going to work. If you want to be able to stand firm, if you want to be able to avoid the temptations, you have to seek his presence in your life and you have to live in obedience to his word. If you try it any other way, it simply won't work. But if you do that, verse 21 and 22 reminds us that we don't have to be kept in bondage to all that goes on around us. See, we see all this stuff around us. We basically live right in the middle of it, but we still don't have to be held captive by it. Even though some days it feels that way. Some days it feels like it's hopeless, right? Some days we might be hopeful for our own personal life, but some days we look around and think, there is just no hope for this nation because of the decision for this world, because of the choices that we are making. And I'm here to tell you that just because we are forced to live in the middle of it and be surrounded by it does not mean that we have to be held captive by it. The indifference towards human life, tolerating this pollution in our life, we don't have to be held captive by it. This goes back to what I started out by saying, and this is a key principle that we have to remember. When we are in the middle of it, we're not going to be held captive to it because God is going to remove it from us. That's not what the Word says. The Word says, I'm not going to remove you, but I'm going to empower you to be salt and light in the dark world that you find yourself in. So instead of saying, please, Lord, remove me from this situation. Please, Lord, remove me from this circumstance. Please, Lord, remove me from the evil. We ought to be saying, Lord, show me how I can be salt and light in the middle of it instead of remove me from it. But sometimes it's easier just to be taken out of it. Sometimes we just say, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. And the Lord says, I want you there. I need you there. I need the church to be there because I have called you and I have called the church to be the salt and light. So please don't ask to be removed from it, but ask God to empower you to be salt and light in the midst of it. David understood these principles better than most of us. To live purely and to love deeply. You want to know how not to be held captive by or be held in bondage to the things, the evil around you? Simply live purely and love deeply. You do those two things, and I assure you that you will be salt and light. If you live purely and love deeply, you will be doing your part to destroy the evil around you and force it out. Verse 24 says, you shall not bow down to their gods. Don't give in to their serving things that rob your life. Don't give in to serving things that rob your life. This the irony of this verse God says, do not bow down to their gods. Worship me alone, basically. You think God says that because he's a prideful God? Do you think God said that because he needs our worship? God says, don't do that because it's for your own good. He says, don't bow down to their gods and serve their gods that will rob you of your life. God says, don't bow down. God's not because I'm prideful, because I know what it will do to your own life. And I don't want you to rob yourself of life. So even in the midst of that commandment, in the midst of that instruction, God is saying it for our own good. He's like, look, you bow down to their gods, you bow down to those idols, you bow down to all those other things in your life, all that's going to do is rob you of your life. Don't do that. So the commandment is out of love for us. Having fears and doubts doesn't disqualify you from being a person of faith. Believe me, fears and doubts and concern is all part of human nature. It's all part of human life. We all have doubts. It's okay. Just don't bow down to them. Stand and praise. See, Israel failed to take the cities because they bowed to their fears after the spies reported back. They bowed to their fears. They said, no way. There is no way. There is too much over there. There is just too much. We can't do it. Look what's over there. I know what God promised. I know what God did in the past, but I mean, look. They were bowing down to their fears. They were failing to remember all that God had done for them in the past. And I'm here to tell you, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget all that God has done for you. Don't forget the way that God has provided for you. Don't forget the way that God has empowered you in the past. Because it's those memories, it's remembering those times that will empower you to move forward in the present and in the future. If you are called to God, don't live like the world lives. Walk with Jesus. And I have no idea why I said, if you are called to God, don't live like the world lives. Walk with Jesus. I'm saying what I should have said is you are called to God, so don't live like the world lives. Not if you are called. You are called. God has called each of us to himself. The third principle I want to talk about this morning is his provision for your destiny. His provision for your destiny. Verse 25 said this, destiny can come only with his provision. You can't reach your destiny that God has planned for you without him providing things along your journey. The world tells us all the time, dream big. Dream big, and it's okay to dream big. And the world says, you have what it takes to get there. Just dream big. Go for it. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes. And if you try and get there based on what you think you have to get there, you aren't going to get there. You can't reach the destiny that God has planned for you without him providing things along the way. His blessings on the details of your life, the provision that you need. This is a critical principle that God will move in and through your life as you seek and face and are open to seek his face and are open to his will. One of my favorite script verses of all time and a most powerful reminder to me is Matthew 6:33. And he says basically this, seek first the kingdom of God and I will take care of the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and I will take care of the rest. Yet how much time do we spend worrying about everything else? We worry about everything else. Asking God, will you please provide for me? Will you please do this? Will you please do that? And he's already said in Matthew 6:33, I will. Just seek me. You don't have to keep asking. All you need to do is seek me. Just seek me. That's it. Don't worry about a million other things. Just seek me. I'll provide everything else that you need. Just don't bow down to their gods. How do we do that? How do we not bow down to their gods? We stand up. We be steadfast. We be immovable. This is what 1 Corinthians 10 says. That Israel's tells us Israel's mistakes are an example for us. Israel's mistakes are an example for us. Basically, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, learn from their mistakes. Don't do what they did. So we can read this text and know that applies to us today. We are reminded that this text applies to us today because we are told to use their mistakes as our example. There is a possibility that you can only be secured through surrender to Him to fulfill your days. You can only be secured through surrender to Him to fulfill your days. Verse 26 says this, I will fulfill the number of your days. I will fulfill the number of your days. That also implies that we can miss having our lives fulfilled. I started out by saying I wasn't talking about just our destination in heaven. You see, just because we fail to bow down to God alone, just because we fail to bow down to the other, or we do bow to other things, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to miss out on heaven. It's not what I'm talking about. Because once saved, we are always saved. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you've secured your place in heaven. But I'm talking about so much more than that. I'm talking about the abundant life that God wants to provide for us on this earth. I'm not talking about that we won't make it to heaven. What I'm saying is that we will miss out on some of our destiny, some of the destiny that God has planned for us here on earth. How do we miss it? How do we miss our destiny? We get impatient and we get up and we walk away. Instead of pressing on into Him and pursuing Him. Really, if you want to recognize your destiny, if you want to fulfill your destiny, if you want to reach your destiny that God has for you, it's really quite simple. Learn from the Israelites' mistakes. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He will provide the rest. And I just want to close with this reminder that I said in verse 29 and 30. I started with this, I'm going to end with it. He does not work on your schedule. He doesn't work on your schedule. I can tell you that He is never late, though. And He is always on time. Even if it seems like, for some of you, He might seem like He's years behind. When Lori and I were trying to have kids, a year went by, and 2 years went by, and 3 years went by, and 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. I can tell you, we're like, Lord, you are late. You are late. And then Julia came into our lives in a way we least expected. But we realized in that moment that God was preparing us all along the way. And that He was not late, He just wasn't working in our time frame. Little by little is what the scripture says. What a telling phrase. Little by little that God works. It is often slow, but He always, always follows through. He always provides in His time and in His own way. And if we will seek first the kingdom of God, we will reach our destiny here on earth. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the promises that You gave to the nation of Israel, Lord. And we thank you for the reminder in the New Testament that those promises are for us as well. That this pertains to our lives as well. That those promises are our promises. And those provisions are our provisions. Lord, I pray that you would give us the patience to wait patiently as little by little, in step by step, you prepare our journey to allow us to arrive at the destiny that you have set before each one of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dan.